I didn't expect you to sing it that fast, but thank you. You can sing that one anytime you like to. I like that. That's one of my favorite songs. Well, I started a series last week. We're going to go through the book of Hebrews. But this morning, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to preach. So you prepare two sermons for Sunday, and sometimes the Lord changes your mind. We'll be going through Hebrews tonight. That doesn't mean it'll be every Sunday night. It doesn't mean it'll be every Sunday morning. But if you're here Sunday morning and Sunday night, like Three to Thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you're here every service, you'll get the whole book of Hebrews, or at least the majority of the book of Hebrews. We can't spend forever in it, but we'll be preaching it once again from Hebrews chapter 1 tonight. But today I want you to look here, and I think I think this is a more appropriate Sunday morning message, and I want to preach on this. Anyways, stand with me. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you should be, and we're going to read from verse 11 down through chapter 3 and verse 3. So let's stand, and let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Father, I ask today that you, in Jesus' name, that you would please empower the message to have a positive influence on all of us that are here. For those that are lost, that they might come to Christ. For those that are spiritual, to realize that they're doing what they ought to be doing, and that they're doing what comes supernatural, and it comes from you as we walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, live by the Spirit. And then this carnal person, or probably an awful lot of modern Christianity makes up what the Word of God calls carnal or carnality. Whatever group we're going to fit ourselves into here this morning, I pray that you would use it for your glory and for our good. And if we're lost, you would save the lost. If we're spiritual, you'll encourage us to keep on keeping on. But if we're carnal, you'll get a hold of our hearts and change our lives and change our direction. We pray for your presence to meet with us and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to be here in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to be seated, if you would, please. And like I said, tonight we'll be back in the book of Hebrews. Now let me ask you a question. In that passage that we just read, where would you put yourself? There are three groups of people there. Last week I mentioned one of the groups of the people as we were doing an introductory in the book of Hebrews, and it was a group of the Jewish Christians who were not growing like they ought to be growing. So I quoted from Hebrews 5:12, which says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers," some of you ought to be teachers, "ye have need that one teach you again, which is be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat." Well, what kind of people drink milk? Well, what kind of people eat meat? Mature people, real people eat meat, red meat at that. Well, all of us will be in one of, I eat way too much red meat if you want to know the truth, but I balance it out by eating oatmeal, so that takes away all the bad out of it. Somebody told me that one day, and I said, I'm going with that because I like that philosophy right there. I don't know if it's true or not. I could care less, but that's what she said. Some elderly lady told me that. Anyway, we're in one of three categories. You are Now notice what it said in verse 14. But the natural man. The natural man. Some of you are in that category of the natural man. Then look down at verse 15. But the spiritual. Some of you are spiritual people. That's the second category of people. And then when you look at verse chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, but as unto carnal, and use that word carnal a few times as you go down to verse 3 there, you're carnal. You're a carnal person. So all of us fit into one of these three categories. You're either a natural person, you're either a spiritual person, or you're either a carnal person. Now that's the three categories of all of us that are here tonight. Natural, spiritual, or carnal. You fit into one of those. Every one of us fits into those. So we put, by the way, we put people into categories all the time. We have what we call the upper class, and then we have the middle class, and then we have the lower class. But God's word doesn't use those type of ways, but it does a different thing. That's not what we're talking about. These are God's categories, natural, spiritual, and carnal. Now, what I'd like you to do this morning is to categorize yourself, and where do you fit into these things, all right? Which group are you into? Well, you say, why do you want us to do that? Because I'm going to tell you why. I would love for everybody in our church to be spiritual. As the pastor of the church, I can promise you that one of my greatest concerns is the lack of spirituality in people. And like the author of Hebrews says, some of you still have need of milk when by now you ought to be on meat. And maybe you haven't been growing the way you ought to. That's what I'm talking about. You know, the Bible is like a roadmap to get to you where you need to be. But a map. Now, I don't mean Google. Okay, I mean a map. You don't look, you know, I'm going to type this in here and it's going to take me there. I mean a real map where you open it up and look at it. That real map isn't any good if you don't know where you are now. And once you know where you are, now you can say, here I am and here's where I need to get to or here's where I need to be. I love the snowmobile ride. I think everybody here probably knows that. I don't just like it. I mean, I love it. But you go in the woods, Faith will tell you this, there's those big maps and they're nailed to a tree or they're put up on a post somewhere. And it'll tell you, you know, this is Lowville, and this is Port Lydon, and this is Boonville, and this is Osceola, and this is Redfield, and this is Montague, and this is Barnes Corners, and this is where Tabert's is. You say, I don't even know where those places are. You don't need to if you're not a snowmobile. Don't worry about it. But you know what on every one of those maps it has? It has a little red dot. And you know what that little dot says? Here's where you are. So now we look at this thing, and we'll say, okay, here's where we are, but we need to get over here. So we're going to do this. And that's going to show us how to get there. You got to know where you are before you can get there. Well, the Bible's like a map. It's going to tell you where you are, and then you ought to be able to figure out through the Word of God what you need to do to get to where you need to be. Because the map isn't any good unless you don't really realize where you are. Now, if you go to a mall, I'm not a mall person. I don't even go to a mall once a year. I hate the mall. I can't stand the mall. If you like the mall, I'm sorry for you. But anyway, if that's your business, I guess. But you'll go in there, and it'll have a map, and it'll have a dot on that map, and it'll tell you, here's where you are. So you can figure out where you are so you can get to where you need to be. Now, you'll look at it and say, right here's where I am, and here's where I came from, and here's where I'm headed. Now, in the spiritual world, your GPS is not on your telephone. You won't get it there. That's not going to help you. Your Bible's going to help you. That's the only thing that's going to help you. So let's try to figure out where we are so we can get to where we need to be. So the first question is God asked Adam was this. Adam, he's in the garden, and God comes along, and he's fallen into sin, and he said, Adam, where art thou? Did God know where Adam was? But he asked Adam that question. He wasn't looking for information. He knew. God wanted Adam to know the predicament that he had put himself in, and ultimately the predicament that he had put the entire human race in. So we'll ask these three questions for you to determine. First of all, are you a natural man? A natural man does the things that just come naturally. You say, well, that's pretty good, isn't it, Pastor? No, that's not good. That's not good at all. Ephesians says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of, who knows what the next word is, anybody? Wrath, even as others. You were born a natural man, and you were born a children of wrath. Now, what does that mean? That means that every person here has a sinful nature. Every one of you. Mary's here someplace. I don't know where she went. Where'd Mary go? Anyway. Oh, there she is, back there in the back. Now, that, I think she's got the littlest baby here today. Pretty sure. That baby is born with a sinful nature. You say, Pastor, how in the world can you talk about babies like that? Well, because the Bible talks about babies like that. It says when they come from their womb, they come doing what? Telling what? Lies. That's the exact word it says. You don't teach a baby how to lie. They're going to lie. Why? They're born a natural man. They have a natural, sinful nature. One of our former presidents, I don't know which one it was. I know some of them said they'd been born again. Ronald Reagan did. Jimmy Carter did. Bush, the first Bush, did. But I don't know which one it was. But anyway, one of the former presidents said he'd been born again. And he said to his vice president, he said, have you ever been born again? And he said, the vice president said, I count myself to have been born once and to be very lucky to be born once. But he goes, no, I've never been born twice. But I'm going to tell you something. The day will come when he won't consider himself lucky if he's only born once. Because if he wasn't born twice, he's got a bad future looking for him. Well, that's true for all of us. Because you see, if you're born once, you die twice. You die physically. That is, your soul and spirit are separated from your body, and your body goes back to the dust of the earth. But your second death is more serious, and that's a spiritual death. And that death is to be separated from God for all eternity. So born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you have a physical birth, and you have a spiritual rebirth, or born again, you're only going to die once. So born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You're going to die physically, but that which is born twice lives on and on and on and on. Now, our problem is what we received from our first birth. Born into a natural world. Born with a sinful nature. It's kind of like an apple. Ever see a hole in an apple? You say, I don't want to eat that apple. It's probably got a worm in it. It probably doesn't have a worm in it. You say, what do you mean by that? That's not where the worm went in. The hole in the apple is where the worm came out. The hole didn't get the worm in. The hole's what got the worm out. How did the worm get in the apple then, Pastor? He was actually hatched in the blossom. The egg was laid in the blossom. And then the worm came out of the heart of that apple to the outer extremity of that apple. Now, by the way, I looked this up a little bit. I don't why I was reading about apples, I have no idea. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting story, so I read a little bit more on it. If you eat an apple and it's brown inside, it's good for you. Okay, it's not going to hurt you. Don't worry about it. It's not bad. You say it doesn't look, the kids are looking, oh, that's yucky. That's fine. Now, if it's fermented a little bit, you might want to be careful. But other than that, and you know what's worse than finding a hole in an apple, don't you, when you bite it? Finding a half a worm in there, that's worse than finding a hole in an apple, that's for sure. Now, Jesus said, the sins of a man, where do they come from? They come out of the heart. That's where they come from. Now, you look at a little baby, and everybody looks at a little baby and say, boy, how sweet that looks. Everybody but my dad. You know, this is what my dad has said. Now, you got to understand my dad. There's no such thing as a cute baby. That's what he said. He would probably say that to the mother that just had that baby, too, if you know my dad. But everybody looks at a little baby other than him and says, look at that sweet little baby. Look at that cute little baby. But did you know in the heart of that child there are lies? There is hatred. There is variance. There's all those things. Pastor, don't you talk about babies like that way. Listen, the Bible does. It says that they come forth telling lies. What about my baby? Oh, yeah, your baby. What about your babies? Yeah, every one of them. Every one of them, born with a sinful nature. You don't have to teach a baby to steal. You have to teach them how not to steal. You don't have to teach them to be selfish. They're going to be selfish. Watch them when they start to get a little older and they start playing and they say, I want that toy. And they run right over there and they rip it right out of another kid's hand. They want that toy. That's the way to have. You have to teach them how to lie and all those things. The natural man is born into a natural world and he's only had one birth. Now, if you take the best quality. How many billions of people are in the world now? Close to 7, somewhere in there. So take all the best qualities of those 7 billion people and you put all of those best qualities into one individual. Did you know that one person would not have enough goodness in that person to save his own soul? I mean, if you took the best quality of 7 million people and put them into one person, that one person does not have enough good qualities in him to get themselves into heaven. Works don't save anybody. Your goodness is just like filthy rags in the eyes of God. That's what the Bible says. There's no good, you can't save yourself. Now, in our own nature, there's nothing good. And so we are by nature the children of wrath. We have a sinful nature. We're born with it, every one of us. The second mark of a natural man is this. The natural man is born with in a natural world, but he's blind to the spiritual world. Have you ever noticed that? Now I want you to look here at verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Then it says this, neither can he know them. He can't know them. Why not? He's a natural man. Because they are, now look at this phrase, spiritual discerned. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. He has no spirituality in him. He can't discern them. It says, receiveth not. That means he cannot welcome spiritual truth into his life. He does not welcome spiritual things. He has no appreciation for spiritual things. Now you can do this. You can put a natural man, a lost person, in a church service. Just like this morning, we're going to have another one, 11 Sunday school between. And there'd be several things that lost person might come in and say, boy, I appreciate that about that church. I like that music. I like that young lady over there playing that piano, and later on the choir will be singing the special music. Boy, that's a nice thing. And everybody come around and shook my hand. That's kind of nice, and those are nice. And boy, I went out there, and I looked at all these programs that they have for children around here. Those are all nice things, and I like it when everybody does. I think, listen, I like those friendly folks. There's things of a church that a natural man can come in here and appreciate. But the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. First of all, turn a page back to chapter, well, you might not even have to turn, I don't. Chapter 1 of verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, that's the natural man, they're perishing, to them that perish, foolishness. It's foolishness to them. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, when you compare that with chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. He said it twice unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he has no spiritualness in him, so he can't discern them. Now, he doesn't understand. You know, when we say hallelujah, praise the Lord, every once in a while wave a hand of praise to the Lord, or we say, how about this? John the Baptist comes along and says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. The natural man don't get that. What do you mean the Lamb of God? He's born in the natural world and he's blinded to the spiritual world. He doesn't understand the true things of God. You ever try to talk to somebody and you know they just don't get it? You know what? They don't just get it. They can't get it. That's what Paul says here. They can't get it. They can't have no spiritual discernment. Look at verse 14 again. It says, neither can he know them. He can't figure it out. He'd like to. Until somebody is born again, they will never get the truths of this book in their head or in their heart. You know that? And especially in their heart. You can't know them. And they're spiritually discerned and they're spiritually understood, that means. Nicodemus was a master in Israel in John chapter 3. And he didn't understand those things. So he comes to see Jesus at night. That was the first one. Jesus said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He had all of his education, but he couldn't understand. He had all of this fancy education, but he could not discern spiritual truth. You can talk to a lost man, and he may say, well, I just don't see that. You know, he's not lying to you. He just doesn't see it. He can't see it. He can't discern the spiritual truth. He's born into a natural world, and he's blind to a spiritual world. One day my dad came over here. This has been several years ago now. And he said, I want you to get me a Bible. Well, I was all excited. Okay. So we ordered him a Bible, and we gave him a Bible. And he knows I carry my Bible. When I have this big old Bible that I carry hunting. It's not. It's just the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs, but it weighs a ton because it's waterproof, and you can. It's kind of handy for being in the woods. Anyway, it's in my fanny pack, and so I carry it out there, and I sit down. There's a lot of the woods I hunt in are small patches, so I read my Bible quite a bit. So I don't know, Dad figured, you read your Bible, I guess I'll get a Bible and read it. So he started reading his Bible, and then he said this. He says, I read my Bible every day I go hunting. I don't understand any of it, but I'm reading it. Now listen, he's not lying. You know why he doesn't really understand it? He doesn't or didn't have, I don't know if he does or now or not, I'm not quite sure to be honest. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him, and he could not make any kind of spiritual, accurate discernment from the Word of God. There's a third mark about this guy. He's blind to the spiritual world. Thirdly, he's bound to the material world. Now ask yourself a logical question. Why wouldn't he be? This world is all he knows. Kind of a misfit. He has no capacity for spiritual things. In Jude, it says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. The word central there really is the same word as natural. You know what he does? He lives by his senses because that's all he's got to live by. He cannot know God or fellowship with God. He must be born again for that to happen. Now, that's the first category of person, the natural man. They're lost. They don't appreciate spiritual truth. They can't discern spiritual truth until the Spirit of God awakens their heart. They just, or quickens their heart, you might say. They cannot, they just won't get it. They just don't. And when they say, when you're witnessing to somebody and he's like, whatever. He's not lying to you. They don't get it. There's a second group of person. It's in chapter 2 and verse 15. And it says the spiritual man. But he that is spiritual, I'll read the rest of the verse, judgeth all things or discerneth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, that's the spiritual man. The natural man, listen, the natural man does that which comes natural. He sins naturally because he has a sin nature. What? By the way, what do you expect a lost person to do? Wouldn't you expect a lost person to sin? It just comes natural for him. That's what he does. The spiritual man does that which comes supernaturally. Because he's got the Spirit of God in him. Now go back to verse 11 where we started our reading. He's been born twice. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Okay, pause. When did the Spirit of God move in to a man? When he got saved. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but capital S Spirit, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved in when you got saved. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the Spirit of God teaches us these things. He's received the Spirit of God, the spiritual man has. Now there's three marks of this guy. First of all, he lives by the Spirit. Verse 12 there. He lives by the Spirit. You ought to be living under the control of the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You don't get into alcohol and all that nonsense, but you are filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. So he lives by the Spirit. He's born of the Spirit. That's salvation. You know what salvation involves? It involves getting God into man. That's what it involves, the Holy Spirit of God coming into man. Christians aren't natural people who decide to do better. We have been radically and supernaturally changed by the new birth, and the Spirit moved in. Now, I was talking to somebody recently, and we were talking about some of this. When I got saved, I look back when I was 20-some years. I might have been teaching the kids in Bible class the other day. When I got saved when I was 21, to where I am today and the 40-ish almost years in between there, I can't believe how radically different my life is. I mean, it is radically different. And the world doesn't have a lot of, well, there's a few things I have a passion for, but the world doesn't have a big pull toward me. It involves getting God into man. And you know what it is? It's a miracle. Did you know when you got saved, that was a miracle? Every time somebody gets saved, it's a miracle. It is becoming what we never could become by nature, and he is a person who lives by the Spirit. There's a second mark. He lives, he learns by the Spirit. Did you see that at the end of verse 12? That we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, for we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. He learns by the Spirit. When you receive the Spirit, you receive what you need to know from God. Now, the natural man, according to verse 14 there, he doesn't. But the spiritual man does. The spiritual man can make spiritual judgments. When we receive Jesus, we receive life from the Spirit. And we live in the Spirit. The spiritual lights, they get turned on. You know, the lost person, I said he just can't get it. The spiritual light is out. I mean, it's out. It's black. But when you get saved, the spiritual light turns on. And I never noticed this until one day I was talking to Melissa, and I was telling her a little bit of my testimony. I said, you know, I went back to the Catholic Church one time in my life after I was saved. And I sat through, it was like a week after I got saved. And I sat there through the Mass, or mess, whatever you want to call it. But I sat through the Mass, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, there is something seriously wrong with this place. I didn't really know much of nothing about the Bible. If you would have said, open your Bible to, you could have named any name, and I would have probably started flipping through because I didn't even know the names of the books of the Bible. I mean, I knew nothing. And finally, we're going along, and the Mass was over. I left, and I said, I'm never coming back here again. There's something wrong here. And I was telling that to Melissa one day. She goes, you mean to tell me God gave you discernment right away after you got saved? Well, in that area, he did. Now, the natural man, because that's all I knew, that's why I went back there. That's where we went. But there's nothing spiritual there. Nothing spiritual there at all. And so, yeah, evidently he did give me at least a little bit of discernment right after I got saved. But the natural man, he doesn't have anything. But the spiritual man does. You see, when we receive Jesus, we receive life from the Spirit. And we're supposed to live in the Spirit. Now, the spiritual light gets turned on. Now, the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? When God wants to, you've heard me use this word before, illuminate you or illuminate your mind, he takes your human spirit and he puts the oil of the Holy Spirit in your human lamp, and God illumines you or illuminates you from the inside out, and so you know exactly what God wants you to do. He lives by the Spirit. He learns from the Spirit. By the way, God has given you, once you're saved, all you need to learn everything about God that God wants you. Now, there's obviously a progression and sanctification, but all you need, God will give you. Thirdly, he's liberated through the Spirit. Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, that's a taboo in our modern culture. You know, that's one of those words that's not acceptable. Judges all things. We can't judge. Yet he himself judges of no man. Now, I said he's liberated. What is it? He judges all things. Now, he's not on a bench with a mallet in his hand. That's not what he's doing. That's not it at all. But he gets spiritual discernment. Do you know why? He has a different value system. Things that are important to the world and things that are important to him are not the same. He has a different value system. He sees things through a different set of lenses. He's looking through spiritual eyes, not natural eyes. To discern is to make a spiritual examination on the basis of that spiritual discernment. He makes moral and spiritual judgments. He says, this is wrong and this is right. This is wrong and this is right. And he doesn't say, well, this is wrong sometimes and this is right sometimes. No, this is wrong and this is right. And so he makes those type of judgments. Now, what is the difference between the natural man who tries to do that and the spiritual man? The spiritual man, look at verse 16. The spiritual man sees through the mind of Christ. Look at the end of toward the end of the verse. That he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, I'll use this illustration when I get to the third point. When we receive the Spirit of God at salvation, we learn through the Spirit. The Spirit live, we live through the Spirit, and we are liberated through the Spirit because this world system doesn't squeeze us into its mold. You can listen to the news. It's not going to change your biblical position. You'll get angry. You'll get upset. You'll say them bunch of liberals. You'll say that a lot of times, actually. But you know what? You know this. They are wrong. You know who told you that? God told you that. He sees through things. He sees what is happening in today's world. He has a value system that is different from the natural man. He sees things from God's viewpoint. Why? He's got the mind of Christ, and he sees through this world to the spiritual world. He's not bound to the material world. He's liberated by the Spirit of God. What's verse 15 mean? But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He understands the unsaved man, but the unsaved man doesn't understand him. You know, unsaved people don't understand us. Now, what is wrong with those people? I told you this before. I was told I'm ruining my life when I started following the Lord. Then what are the marks of a spiritual man? He lives by the Spirit. That is, the Spirit leads him, guides him, teaches him. He learns by the Spirit. He's taught by the Spirit. He's indwelt by the Spirit. He walks in the Spirit. He's filled with the Spirit. And he's liberated by the Spirit. He lives in and through the Spirit of God. Now, have you ever noticed, man, I would have to believe you did, even how politically different conservative Christians are in the arena, even of political? I mean, conservative Christians and the world politically are night and day. And by the way, we're in the minority. But that doesn't make us wrong. Okay, you've all heard of Alexandria, what's her name? Sometimes Coherent. Oh, anyway, you've heard of her. She's a nutcase. But she is. Some of the natural people can see through that. But you know, you take a lot of the younger ones that are immature, they can't. They can't see through that. But even we're pro-Israel. I've never met a good Christian who's not pro-Israel. Never one. You'll never meet a good Christian who's pro-Israel. I've never met a good Christian, a mature Christian, who was anything other than pro-life. Never met one. I've never met a good Christian who was anything other than pro-traditional marriage. That is, marriage is between one man and one woman for life. I've never met one who was anything other than that. Never met one. I've never met a conservative Christian who didn't believe in work, who believed in workfare, not welfare. Never met one. Our programs at the church deal with the spiritual. The lost person's programs deal with the material. You can give people everything in the world they want to give, and I'm all for people doing that. If you want to volunteer and do that, good for you. But that's not the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church is spiritual. I think one of the greatest ministries we have is sits back there in that room back there where we get out John and Romans and we send Bibles all over the world. What a blessing that is. Do you realize we've sent over 1 million John and Romans around the world now? The church, as a simple, small little New Testament church, over 1 million. That's the greatest thing we can do. We support missionaries that start churches. The most important thing our communities need is a church, not a playground, not a swimming pool. They need churches. I don't know if you know this or not. A few years ago, down in Long Island, a church had cash to buy a piece of property that was adjacent to their church building. And they wanted that to expand, and they also, down there, you want any piece of property you can find a place to park a car, right? So they wanted to buy that property, and they had cash money. They went in to buy it. If somebody else had made this is a good illustration of a natural man and a spiritual man, made a bid on it to put a playground there. Now, this is how stupid the natural man can be. The mayor, whoever it was, said, okay, we think a playground is more important than a church. Now, have you ever heard anything any more stupid in your life than that? But the natural man would say, I don't understand you. I don't get that. And I look at them and say, I don't get you, man. But actually, I do get them. I do understand. They're natural. We live in the spiritual. Everything about us is different. But there's a third category, which is the saddest category. Well, I don't know. To me, it's sad as a pastor. I can't say it's the saddest. It's the carnal man. Now look at chapter 3 again. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. Now these are Christian people, evidently, but they weren't spiritual people. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, they're carnal. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions or factions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now listen, the natural man does that which comes naturally. He's ungodly, he lives a sinful life, but that you can't expect anything different. The spiritual man has the mind of Christ, and he does that which comes supernaturally. But the carnal man does that which comes unnaturally. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He's a spiritual disaster. He's a spiritual disaster. He's saved, but he's kind of strange. Now, you look there at 3 again. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, that as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I'm preaching tonight's message tonight and not this morning, it's more meaty. It's got some substance to it. It's got some, I think, some really good stuff in it. But some people listen to a message like I'm going to preach tonight, and they're going to be like, I don't get it. You know why? And I'm talking about saved people now. They're carnal. They're worldly minded. They're not spiritual. So he says, I can't even speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. That's what he said. Now, a carnal man, I said, does that which comes unnaturally. He's a spiritual disaster. Let me give you 3 marks of a carnal Christian. First of all, a carnal man is a Christian, but he's defeated. You ever meet a defeated Christian? Somebody who doesn't live a Christian who doesn't live a victorious Christian life. That's a sad thing. Now, it's not the only mark, but it's one of the marks. They're defeated. He doesn't have victory. He doesn't act like a mature man ought to do. He can't war. He can't war a good warfare because he doesn't walk in the spirit. He's not spiritual. He's a baby, and he is unable to do spiritual things. Now, look at verse 1. You'll figure out what I'm trying to say. Brethren, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Mary, does that baby ever feed itself yet? Never one time. It will eventually. There's some others in here, I suppose, that got little babies like that aren't able to feed themselves quite yet. And then when they start, you want to put a blue tarp underneath them, I'll tell you, and keep everything off the carpet if you got a carpet in your kitchen. But you know what I mean. They have an inability. They don't have victory. He doesn't do and act like a mature man. He's a baby, and they're unable to do any spiritual or mature things. You can't talk to him as mature. Now, he's talking about spiritual babies. There are spiritual babies in our church. Some have been here for a while, and they're still spiritual babies in the Lord. Now, I will tell you something. There is a legitimate childhood. So you're born a baby, but that baby doesn't stay a baby. That baby grows and grows and grows and grows into adolescent, ultimately grows into an adult. That's normal, the normal pattern. You know what ought to be the normal pattern in the Christian's life? They get saved, and they grow, 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 and they mature, and they mature, and they mature, and they mature. That ought to be normal. But the carnal Christian that does that which is unnatural, or I'll use the word unnormal, I don't know if it is a word or not. But they do these things, they're unable to do anything spiritual. He's talking about spiritual babies. But this childhood, the Bible says in Hebrews, and I quoted this earlier, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again to be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not a strong meat. You're not liberated. We have to speak to you sometimes like little babies. You're a defeated Christian. Now, it is my opinion, you can agree with this or not, that the average Christian world, when I say average, I mean most common, the most common Christian in the Christian world is a carnal Christian. Yet a normal Christian is a spiritual Christian. That's normal. Let me use this as a horrible illustration, but the first one that just popped into my mind. They talk about the Islam that are radicalized. You know, the radicalized are actually the most normal ones. If you follow the Quran and read the Quran, the Quran teaches to annihilate Israel. The Quran teaches to the West, us. It calls us infidels. And you know what it says about us that are called infidels? And we need to die. That's what a Muslim who follows his Quran actually believes. It's a religion of hate. We had a missionary here once, Solomon Olawabi, and he's over in Africa and he works with Muslim people. And somebody in the church asked him, he had a Q&A, and they asked him, he said, what's the biggest difference you see between a Muslim and a Christian? He stood there for 5 seconds, which in church seems like an eternity. And he says, the biggest difference is the better Christian you become, the more loving you become. But the better Muslim you become, the more hateful you become. You know, if you follow the Quran, as much as I hate to say it, you know he's right. That's true. But they're the normal one. The Christian, the normal Christian, is the spiritual Christian, and the world might look at you and say, you're just one of them Jesus freaks. You're out there in left field, man. You know what you say when they say that? Amen. Thank you. Amen. Appreciate that compliment. That's what you say. You don't have to be ashamed to be a Christian. Not only are they can't do anything for themselves. Look at verse 12. I'm sorry. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk. Who fed them? Paul fed them. You know what they are? They're dependent. They're dependent. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. The little ones are still dependent. Paul says, you come to hear me preach, and I have to give you a bottle. You're dependent upon me. Hebrews, now let me read that whole text from Hebrews chapter 5. I've only read verse 14 so far. It says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. They don't get the spiritual things. For when you, for a time, you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And in return, some of us have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. They're unskilled in the word of God. They can't use it. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, listen, to discern both good and evil. A carnal Christian can't tell the difference between good and evil, but a mature Christian can. He's saying, I'd like to give you a steak today, a filet mignon, but I can't. You can't chew it. You can't digest it. You can't have it. So you need milk, and you need formula like a baby, because you're unable to digest anything else. Or those disgusting ground-up vegetables that we feed our poor little children. What is up with that stuff? You ever taste any of that stuff? Anyway, you need, that's what you need sometimes, spiritually. And then he kind of includes this. Some of you ought to be teachers. But you need someone to teach you again the first principles, which you already should have learned. Some of you have never, there are some of you here today, you've never taught anybody anything. And there is a chance that some of you never will teach anybody anything. I asked a guy once, I was really trying to find something positive in this man's life to compliment him on. So I began to ask him a series of questions. You read your Bible? No. I started out with, do you have family devotions at home? No. I said, well, do you read your Bible? No. You and your wife ever read your Bible together? No? Couldn't find anything there to praise him on. I says, you pray together as a family? No? I says, you've never prayed with your wife together? Like you get up in the morning and pray together? No? So finally, I was running out of options, man. Finally, I says to him, do you at least pray when you sit down and eat a meal? He says, no. I'm like, you're carnal. Now, I probably should have said that. But maybe I should have said that. I'm not sure. But it came out. It just came out. He was carnal. He was carnal. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. You say, you're judging that. I know. That's what Paul told me to do. Judge that. And I judge that. Now, the point here is this. You ought not to stay carnal. You ought to grow. You ought to mature. You ought to be everything that God wants you to become. He's defeated. He's dependent. And if you look at verse 3, he's divisive. And divisions. And are you not carnal and walk as men? See the word there? You see these things, he goes on then in verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Paulus. Are you not carnal? Well, Paul's my favorite. Yeah, you like Paul? Well, I like Paulus. He's better than Paul. Carnal. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And then he said this, I have planted, Apollos watered. We worked together, he says. But God gave the increase. You ever see children get upset over trivial things? The church at Corinth had people that were getting upset at trivial things. A carnal Christian will give you more trouble in a church than anybody outside of the church. You know that? You probably not know that, but as a pastor, trust me on that one. They're defeated, they're dependent, and they're divisive. And they do carnal things, like lie, like be dishonest, like swear, like use foul language, like tell dirty jokes, laugh at dirty jokes. They have sinful habits. They might look at pornography. They might be involved in worldly entertainment. They watch movies that are not appropriate. They watch television programs that are not appropriate. How is it that you can have, we don't get cable anymore, but how is it that you can have 50 television channels and not find anything worthwhile watching on it? They keep up with the Hollywood crowd. Years ago, I heard a Christian lady ask me about somebody in Hollywood. I got to tell you something. I don't even know who people in Hollywood are. I could care less about the Hollywood crowd. I don't know nothing about those people. But they were talking about that. Dress worldly, immodest. That's coming up pretty soon, summertime. I better have a message on that or two. All of us are in one of these three categories. The natural man, the spiritual man, or the carnal man. The natural man is lost. He's on his way to hell. The spiritual man, and living in victory, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, learning by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Carnal man, he's saved, but he's not what he ought to be for the glory of God, I can promise you that. The natural man does that which comes naturally. The spiritual man does that which comes supernaturally, and the carnal man does that which comes unnaturally. It's not natural for a baby to stay a baby. It's natural for a baby to grow. That's just natural. So let me ask you this. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want you to be honest with yourself, honest with the Lord. Where are you? What group are you in? If you deduce today, I'm a natural man. I've never been born twice. I've never been born again. Well, you need to be born again. When I got saved and I read for the first time in a gospel tract about being born again, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know what that meant. I knew what it meant when I was done, but I didn't know what it meant at first. That's a natural man. Get born again. If you're a carnal man, let me admonish you to grow up, to take your place of service, to find your Bible, and you get into that Bible and you saturate yourself with the Word of God. You say, well, I still struggle. Then you get somebody to disciple you and teach you and be what you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a spiritual person, you just keep on keeping on. You just keep growing. You just keep walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit, surrendered to the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit. Remember, you're always going to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. He'll never leave you. So where do you place yourself? Well, Pastor, I'm not natural. I know I've been saved. Okay. But I'm not spiritual either. I do some of those things that you mentioned earlier. Well, I guess that only leaves one option. Carnal. It's not God's will for you to be a carnal Christian. It's God's will for me and you and all of us to be a spiritual Christian. Now that's our challenge this morning. Where are you? And if you need to get saved because you're a natural man, when faith plays here in a few moments, you step out and you come. And if you're a carnal Christian, you dedicate yourself. You say, Lord, no longer. No longer. I'm going to grow. I'm going to mature. I'm going to change. I'm going to allow you to change me through the ministry of the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be what you want me to be. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would save the lost, because we know it's your will, that none perish. We pray secondly in Jesus' name, we know this is your will also, that every Christian here goes from immaturity and carnality and a time of dependence in their life to where they can handle the meat of the word and they are spiritually mature. The sinful habits are gone. The worldly philosophies are gone. The worldly habits are gone. And they simply walk into spirit. And for those that are spiritual, or they're a blessing, they love you. They serve you. They want to honor you with their life. I pray you'll encourage them to keep on keeping on, because they are in your will. And we know it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Faith. If you're natural, see me after the service, please. If you're carnal, what are you going to do about it? God's not going to make you grow. God will guide you, but you have to meet God. What are you going to do about it? Maybe you're content there. That's a scary place to be. If you're spiritual, praise God. Praise the Lord. You serving, keep on serving. You doing, keep on doing. Well, Father, it is good to be here in your house. And Lord, I pray that every person will take this message and use it as a guide, as a map, to show them where they are right now and to show them where they need to be. And Lord, I pray that we would all attain to what you would have for us, whether we're carnal, spiritual, or natural, one of those three groups. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go get ready for Sunday school.